Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Chwaba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who always looks ahead, even when parallel parking, Pete Chwaba.
Welcome back to Nightlight for hour number two here on this Monday evening edition of Nightlight. We are lighting it up, folks. You don't... Conrad, are we lit?
I think we are.
Okay. Just checking. Our question tonight, what is the best movie you've seen this summer? It doesn't have to be from the theaters. It doesn't even have to be from a streaming platform. I watched one on TV a few days ago. So what is the best film you've seen this summer? Let us know. You can let us know on the stream. And are we getting the text? Do we know that?
I'm not sure, actually.
You can try on the text line, too, at 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. My guest right now is Rob Thomas from the Capital Times. He's the entertainment reporter there, and you can also check out his work on Not That Rob Thomas Substack. If you Google it, it will come right up, and he has great movie reviews. Check him out. Rob, Phil Donahue passed away. I said earlier in the show, I felt kind of bad saying this. I really thought he had already passed away. Honestly, well, I didn't know he was still alive.
I mean, yeah, I guess he had a long illness, but like he was so, like, for people of our generation, he was so present on TV, like during the 70s and 80s, and through, I guess the show ended like the mid 90s. That, like, yeah, his absence, you assume, like, well, he must be gone, right? Because, like,
that's what I,
because, like, he was like that show, the Phil Donahue show, even if he didn't watch it, like, it was such a cultural phenomenon, right? Like,
right.
Changed, I guess I didn't really realize this as I was reading his obit, but like he was the first one to go, oh, take that microphone into the audience, and like, you know, right. Aside from like Price is Right, I guess, but like, you know, and get the audience members to ask questions, and he made it like a, I don't want to say a circus, but it was like so much more lively than a lot of daytime television. And then he would just, like, I, like, in my head, I always think of him as like, oh, he could have been a PBS host, but like his show was like wild. They had like it was always this, like, one topic, right? It wasn't every hour, and it could be like everything from like lesbian strippers to you know, the prison system in America to poverty. I saw them in the Brat Pack documentary. There's clips of them on Donahue. Just basically whatever he thought people would watch, they would do a show on it. Like, I remember when I was in college, what I remember was when David Duke, the KKK guy, he was on there, and that was a big thing. And like, I don't know. And of course, like, all these, you know, even more lowbrow daytime talk show host like Jerry Springer came after him, you know.
Yeah, it was almost like they were almost like parodies of Donahue. It was so strange. Like, because you had Geraldo, Jerry Springer, Ricky Lake, all from Chicago too, which is weird.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah, it was just bizarre. But he was great. I mean, I remember in college watching him, and I don't know that I'd watch a show if I was in college now, but that it was just on. And you didn't know what to expect. And they said when he moved the show, I guess it started in Dayton, and then they moved it to Chicago. And it's when they put that audience in, like you said, that it really took off.
Yeah. I mean, he just kind of knew what the audience wanted.
Yeah.
And I guess, you know, I was reading something was saying that, like, you know, he really respected his audience. Like his audience was probably a lot of, you know, at the time, housewives at home.
Right.
70s and 80s. And he didn't dumb it down. He thought, you know, whether they were in the crowd or watching, he felt they could take it, you know, the most thoughtful or out there or whatever topic. So, you know, he was definitely a feminist in that way, even though he was showing his feminism by having, you know, lesbian strippers on or whatever. So, it is sad. I think he had his last thing was like a MSNBC show, Like, right, and they got canceled right around the Iraq War. Do you remember that? It was on for like a few
months.
And then I guess they thought he was too openly anti-war, so they canceled it. And that's really the last time he was on TV that I remember.
Here. And I think that's why I thought he had passed away. I just hadn't heard a peep from him. But apparently he got a Medal of Honor this past spring from President Biden. And to your point about him being a feminist, it said, and I read this in People magazine, Donahue was the first mainstream talker to acknowledge that women were interested in things other than mascara and cake recipes. I thought that was well stated, you know.
So that's
interesting. Did you, have you ever heard of a hoaxer named Alan Abel?
No.
All right. He's a professional. This is what this guy did his adult life. He just pulled hoaxes. And there's a great documentary his daughter did. His daughter, I think his name is Jenny, called Abel Raises Cain. And one of the gags he did was he got, Donahue was doing a piece on older gay couples, like elderly, you know, 60 plus, not elderly, but 60 plus gay couples. And Donahue was talking to people in the audience, and Alan Abel planted people in the audience who just started fainting when they would talk, when the guests were talking about their relationships. So he starts freaking out. They had to cut to a break. He thought, you know, the whole production thought something was coming in through the vents. And this was just one of this guy's. But if you Google him, I'm trying to get his daughter on the show because Alan Abel was just a master. He got on Tom Brokaw. He started these campaigns to clothe animals because he thought naked animals were obscene and people bought into it. I mean, talk about being ahead of your time. But I always specifically remember that Donahue gag from the documentary. It was so much fun.
Well, I'm surprised Donahue didn't have him as a guest. That's like the perfect guest for him, right?
So we just have a few more minutes, Rob. White Lotus. You told me you're watching White Lotus. You sounded like you're kind of late to the party. I watched season one. That's as far as I made it. And I keep meaning to get to the rest of them, but I just haven't yet. What do you think of that, and how far into it are you?
We're only a couple episodes in. Yeah, we're way behind, obviously.
Okay.
It's quite a phenomenon. There's a second season, I think, in Italy. And then they're shooting the third season now, which I think is Thailand. If you don't know, each season is at a different like resort for the ultra rich.
Yeah,
I believe. So you see these super rich sort of people and then also the staff at this resort and the interactions between the two. And we're enjoying it. It's sort of like, it's humor that's so dry that you don't laugh really. Right. And all the rich people are kind of various levels of horrible. You know, it's sort of like one of those shows that tries to make you feel better that, oh no, rich people are miserable too. Don't worry about it.
Yes.
But it's well acted and it's really, I'm interested to see where it goes. Of course, this is the series where the Jennifer Coolidge Renaissance has come from, I think, where people are really appreciating her as an actress.
She's great. Yeah.
Yeah. So we're enjoying it. Yeah. It's on Max and,
One of my ex-girlfriends is in that season. I don't know if you've heard of her, Sydney Sweeney. And she, she's really funny. And her character, she's such a jerk to her brother. And it is so funny. And then the husband, who was one of the office writers, who's married to, in the film, it's Alexandra Daddario. He's with this beautiful woman and he's so mad he didn't get the honeymoon suite and he can't let it go. I thought it was really funny.
I can't deny, like, I identify with that guy the most, having the second most luxurious suite at the hotel.
Yeah.
But knowing that you should have had the most luxurious suite.
And he can't let it go.
Just gnawing at you like that. Yeah.
And he's on his honeymoon. It's so funny. Well, we'll have to circle back. Maybe I'll try to start watching season two and we can have a discussion. Did you watch The Boys, Rob?
I have dipped into it. It was a little too dark for my taste. Yeah.
Yeah.
It was a little too much. It was sort of like Game of Thrones that way, where like I was enjoying it, but it's like, this is a little more than I can take in concentrated doses. Did you watch it?
That's a great way to put it. Yeah. And it was dark and the violent, it's very violent. It's very graphic, both sexually and violently. I think, and to the point where it kind of takes me out of it. I'm like, okay, I know you can do those things in film, but you're taking me totally out of the story. I don't think season one did that. I kind of liked season one. And after that, okay, it kind of gradually just got a little crazier. So yeah. I didn't dislike it, but I was sort of like, it just wasn't my cup of tea.
Yeah. I guess it's a pretty good satire of, you know.
Yeah.
So, yeah. But I might try to kind of inch my way through it, watch it through my fingers, I think.
Yeah. I'd be interested to know what you think about that. Yeah. You're right, though. The parody is great. Especially season four for what's going on in our country right now.
Exactly.
We just have about a minute left, Rob. Do you have any thoughts on Matthew Perry? And it's his birthday today. And the news that I think his assistant is going to be charged with manslaughter or murder. I mean, what the heck?
It's so awful. Like I mean, you really had hoped he had gotten through it, you know?
Yeah.
And I remember the rounds of interviews he did. I feel like it was just last year with that, his new book, or 2 years ago.
Right.
And I don't know all the details, but like what I'm seeing is just so tragic. I mean, it kind of reminds me of like Philip Seymour Hoffman, where you're like, you know, you're like, man, you think that guy has finally gotten through it. Finally, you know, but unfortunately it wasn't the case.
It's terrible. He's one of those guys too, though, that I really never had faith that he would. Like the third time he went off rehab and then he cracked up his car and then his mouth looked different that season of Friends. I'm like, this guy has got problems. You know what I mean? Like he just looks so like such a tortured soul. And when he kept going off of it, I'm like, you kind of knew it was going to end in a way that was similar to this, at least. I don't know.
It's just crazy. I'd hoped. Yeah.
Well, this was, I can't believe we ended it on that.
Great place to end it.
Yeah, I mean, exactly.
Very fun, very funny guy. I mean, yeah.
Yes, he was very funny as Chandler.
Yeah.
Rob, great stuff. Thanks so much. You're the best, buddy. Have a great night.
Thanks, Pete.
All right.
You too, man.
Later. That's Rob Thomas. Check out his work in the Capital Times and check out his Substack. Not That Rob Thomas. He does great stuff, and he is a great way to keep in touch with what's in the theaters and what's on TV and what we should be watching, which is really what it's all about, ladies and gentlemen. If you're just joining us from the Democratic National Convention, welcome. If you've been with us the whole way, welcome. This is a Monday night edition of Nightlight. And I'm back from vacation, and we're going to do this thing upright. Bill Leff is here next, the host of the show. Tune in with me on the MeTV network. That's next on Nightlight with Pete Schwabba on the Civic Media Radio Network. Question tonight is, what is the best movie you've seen all summer? If you want to let us know, you're gonna have to do it on the stream, folks. And that was Islands in the Stream that we played in honor of Dolly Parton's birthday, but we only played the Kenny Rogers part of the song. That's how we like to do things here at Nightlight, folks. We celebrate Dolly Parton by playing the part of a song she did with her duet partner, and I think that's the way to go. All right, I'm very excited. We're gonna move on here. My next guest is the host of Tune In With Me, which is a nationally syndicated show that you can see on MeTV every morning. Great show. And he's also an old friend and a very funny comedian and a very successful radio personality in his own right. Bill Leff joins us now on Nightlight. Hey, Bill.
Pete, happy Dolly Parton's birthday to you and yours.
Via Kenny Rogers. Thank you, Bill.
Kenny Rogers.
Thank you enough.
Why wouldn't you play? It would only be logical to play the Dolly Parton part of that song.
That's not how
you opted out.
Yeah, we don't do that. We try to keep people guessing. We don't like to let people get too complacent.
Let's say today it's not, but let's say it was Kenny Rogers' birthday. What would you do? What would you run?
Tiny Tim. We play some Tiny Tim, and I don't know. I don't even think they ever collaborated on anything, but I just feel
no, they never worked together, unfortunately.
Because you thought. You thought I was going to say Dolly Parton.
I thought you were, but you pulled the old switcheroo on me.
That's right.
Can I ask you a question, Pete? How long? First of all, how long have you and I known each other? and been friends forever, right? Would you say forever?
I would say we've known each other 30 years, been friends 21 years. No, I'm joking.
Yeah, something like that.
Something like
that. The first 9 years were a little frosty.
Sorry.
Whenever I have something good happen in my life, I say to myself, I can't wait to tell Pete what happened to me. Whenever I have something bad in my life, I say, I need to talk to Pete so he can make things right. Hmm. I trust you. I love you. You're like my brother. And I only say that because I don't understand Conrad, your producer. Every time I'm on the show, this is the second time this has happened. Conrad is real nice when you're around. And then like today, before he put me on, he goes, you better do good. Like out of nowhere, he just goes, you better do good. And I go, I'm going to do good. And he goes, do you love your grandmother? I go, yeah, I love my grandmother. Why would you ask me that? He goes, it'd be a shame if something bad happened to her. And then he just starts cackling. Whoa.
Conrad?
So far, so good, Bill.
Oh, man. I got to tell you, listen, first of all, I'm surprised you don't ask me for more advice, Bill. I want to say that.
I'm going to start.
Second of all, if Conrad is saying you need to do good, he needs a grammar issue. We'll square that away too. And I want to say, I'm very sorry. I think he's all hat, no cattle.
I hope you're right. Yeah. I don't know what that means, but I hope you're right because
I don't really.
I still look forward to coming on with you, and I'm not nervous because I know when you and I sit down, when we get together, it's just all kinds of fun. We're just doing it to have a good time.
Very few threats.
Right.
Yeah.
But he throws this extra thing on there. Like if you don't do good, my grandmother's very sick right now, Pete. Smallest thing could jar her and end it for her. And now I'm afraid that if I don't do well, Conrad's going to kill my grandmother.
All right. Just give me 1 second.
All right.
Cease and desist. One more threat and that's it. You understand me, Conrad?
Yep.
Bill, I think I just addressed it. We'll see what happens, but keep me posted moving forward. I really don't think it'll be an issue.
Thank you for doing that.
And my best to your grandmother.
And I'm not one to tattle. I'm not what you'd call a tattletale, but it's gotten to the point where I've been looking forward to being on the show today. Like I didn't even go to work today. I just stayed home and I'm like, boy, 9 more hours till I'm on with Pete, 8 more hours till I'm on with Pete. And then, you know, to have a I know the importance of a good producer, and he is a good producer, don't get me wrong. But is he threatening all the guests like this or just me?
This is the first I've heard of it, Bill. I'm sorry that's happening because he is a good producer.
No, it's not your fault.
You know, and I just, I don't know. I've got to look into this.
The last time I was on, I don't know if you remember this, Pete. I was very honored to be your first guest.
Yeah, you were. That was great. That was a lot of fun.
I was the first guest. So about a week before the show started, Conrad started driving past my house late at night. Like I would look outside and I would just see him slowly driving past the house. Wow. And my wife was scared and my kids were scared and he didn't do anything, but it rubs me weird. It just makes me nervous.
It's a boundary issue, I think, is what you're saying.
It is a boundary issue.
I'm with you, Bill. And I think we've addressed it. I don't know that he's ever threatened another guest.
But he may have.
He may have, yeah. You're not, you know, I don't want to put you in a situation where all day you take a day off work and you're like, do I snitch or do I not? Do I take one for the team and just do the show, or do I bring something to fruition here? And I think it's good that you did.
All right. Well, thank you. And I don't want to dwell on it, and I don't want to bring the show down because the show started out really strong. You had the guy on and he was talking about Sydney Sweeney and people love that.
Yeah.
And there's going to be some convention talk at some point, I'm guessing. But I want everyone to know I'm doing this under duress.
Okay. Well, I think that's a good first step because you just saying it, getting it out there to the listeners, you've got sort of, you know, I mean, Conrad's got an alibi because he's here, but you're putting this on record. And I think, I'm sorry you have to go through this and give my best to your wife. That's not fair.
I will.
All right.
She's scared out of her. She's hiding under the bed right now.
That's terrible.
I mean, I give her credit because my daughters just ran. They just fled. But my wife is under the bed right now.
The only thing that would make this weirder is if in 3 hours, Conrad got in his car after the show and comes into your house a whomping and a whooping, and this is really happening.
I wouldn't be shocked if what you just described, I know you were kidding around, but if that happened, I would just nod. I would just go, yeah, Pete Stradamus, he knows what's coming.
Pete Stradamus. So, I mean, I'm sure we could do this. This is so fun to do, first of all, Bill. I was at Second City last Sunday night with my wife and
kids.
Were
you?
Yeah. We didn't go together. They happened to be there. It was weird. But and they sat us together, which was even more strange. But it's just fun to riff. I don't live around comedians anymore. So whenever I need to do this, especially with someone as talented as you, I'm just going to have you on the show if that's okay.
All right. I'm in. I will stay here and I'm in.
We'll have an actual bull session, as they call it.
I would love that. Pete, I just heard you went on vacation, and forgive me for not knowing this, but I don't. Where did you go? Did you go somewhere exotic?
Yeah, a little place called, we kind of did the exotic triumvirate. We went to Chicago, Lincoln Park, overnight to break up a drive to Kalamazoo.
Oh my God.
A wedding on a Monday. Don't get me started. Yeah. And then we drove back up to Door County. So I don't think you can, let's just say if you have a date, Bill, her motor will be running.
You know what it sounds like? You've been to Epcot Center. It sounds like a Midwestern version of Epcot, where you went to all the best countries. You got a sample of their wares.
Bill Leff is here. He is the host of Tune In With Me every morning on the MeTV network. Bill, we're just going to do a little bit of news here. And then I want to ask you about MeTV and Tune In, because it's all a great show. Can we do that?
Yeah, all right. I love that.
Give Terry a cold compress, and we'll be right back. All right. Pete Schwab and Nightlight, Civic Media Radio Network. Watching the radio on the stream says The Boys in the Boat on Prime. I have not seen that yet, Paula. I think my wife saw that and she liked it. Paula also says On the Road Again. The one with Kristen Stewart? I saw that years ago. I thought it was pretty good. That's one of my all-time favorite books, so I probably was never going to like the movie as much as the book, but I didn't dislike it. I remember that. That's our question tonight. What's the best movie you've seen all summer? Theater, stream, color television, broadcast network, whatever you got. Share it with us. My guest tonight is Bill Leff. Tonight and right now is Bill Leff. He is the host of Tune In With Me on the MeTV network. It's on every morning on syndication. A great show. Bill, how are things going there?
It's going pretty good, Pete. I'm not going to lie to you. We're starting up season 5. We just did our 800th episode, which is amazing.
Whoa.
It's 800 of anything is a lot when you stop and think about it. But we've done 800 hours where, you know, you get to be a kid again. You get to watch Saturday morning cartoons just like when you were a kid. And it's fun and exciting. I love doing it.
So is that basically that's 200 episodes a year. I assume you don't shoot 200 days. Do you break that up? And even if you have to go in for 200 days, that's like teacher days, right? You get some time off.
We don't shoot it in real time. So a lot of days we'll shoot parts of 3 or 4 or 5 different episodes.
Okay.
You know, I know that breaks the fourth wall and it's more than we should be giving out, but it's interesting the way it's done. And it's done for several reasons that way. I don't understand any of them. They've explained it to me. It'd be easier for me to just start at the beginning and end at the end, but they go, no, you can't do it that way. So we do it a different way.
They're trying to protect you from Conrad. Keep your moves kind of covert. You're on another show, Bill, too. On the MeTV network, are there any shows on MeTV you're not on? And tell us about your new show.
All right. So they added me about a year ago to Svengoolie's show. Now, I've been watching Svengoolie since I was in high school. I never in a million years thought I would be on it even once, much less almost every week. But that's what's happened. I play a character named Nostalgia Ferratu, who is an 800-year-old vampire who loves trivia. And it's been a hit with the kids.
That's
so I'm doing
so
that.
Cool.
And then there's a third show that's going to start in October that I'm sworn to secrecy about, but I will be on yet a third show on the MeTV network. And they're trying to figure out a way to get me into old episodes of Sea Hunt, but so far that has not happened.
I think three shows, you're doing okay. You're like the face of the network.
You know what happens is when you get older, you get a lot uglier and stuff. And I'm like, well, I shouldn't even be on one show, much less three. But luckily, they've got very poor eyesight there at MeTV. So they let me be on three different shows.
You hide their bifocals from them. They keep giving you shows. Bill, how much do you make a year? Let's cut right to the chase.
I make $70 a month. So if I'm doing the math right, it's $840 a year. That's pretty good money.
You had a thing you used to do that I thought was so hilarious. You never liked when people asked you what you made. And it is a personal question. It's like mind your own business. Yeah. But people, whatever they asked you, whether it was a corporate gig or if you were opening at Zany's, do you remember what you'd tell them?
I can't remember.
You say whatever they say. And I remember this. People had no problem asking you what you made because comedy was so different. How much you make doing that?
Yeah.
And you always said $5,000.
Yeah, yeah. That was my price.
I just got to go open a corporate show for 10 minutes. What do you make for something like that? $5,000.
$5,000. That's my going rate. If you want me, you got to pay me the $5,000. So sometimes I was dead on target, and other times I was off by about $4,980.
Hey, so you're a good Chicago boy. You've been there your whole life. Donahue passed away. I have to be honest, Bill. I thought he was already dead, and I don't mean to be crass.
You know what, Pete? The only thing worse than being dead is having people think that you're dead.
Not
I'd
if we want
be
anonymity.
Dead than have everyone assume I'm dead.
But did you know he was a lot? Like he kind of hasn't done anything since some MSNBC stuff years ago. I really thought he had passed away.
No, I knew he was alive, and I had the pleasure when I was working at one of the Chicago radio stations. He came into town. I don't remember what he was promoting. I want to say for a while he did a podcast with his wife, with Marlo Thomas from That Girl. And right. I think he was in promoting that. And I got to interview him. And I always envisioned him to be a very nice, fair, gentle human being. And he was beyond that. He was so cool. And like I was pulling out episodes one by one. I'm going, I know you did. I just bragged about doing 800 episodes. I think he did 8,000 episodes of Donahue, of his talk show. But I was pulling out like the most obscure moments that I remembered as a kid. Like, for instance, he had Alice Cooper on at the very pinnacle of Alice Cooper's career when he was one of the hottest guys in rock and roll. And he came on not as Alice Cooper, but as his real self, Vincent Fernier. And he was talking about how he loves to go to church and he loves to golf and stuff. It was the exact opposite of what you'd think from Alice Cooper, but Phil Donahue made it great. He was so perfect.
Yeah, he was something else. It's funny. I don't know if kids, I remember watching him in college, and I don't know that kids now would watch a daytime talk show that wasn't like Jerry Springer or Ricky Lake or, you know, he was like he was a journalist, you know?
Yeah.
It was great.
And a groundbreaker. You know, I know if you read anything about him today, you found out that his very first guest was a woman named Madeline Murray O'Hare, who was a very controversial figure back in the 60s and into the 70s. She was an atheist when it was not a good idea to be an atheist.
Right.
And she'd come on and really challenge everybody's thoughts about religion. And that was his very first guest. And he just ran from there. But it wasn't exploitative like the talk show hosts that followed him. It was just very, as you pointed out, it was very journalistic. He came at it from just the right angle. And boy, was he good.
He was great. I just had one of my friends, Rob Thomas, was on, who writes for the Capital Times in Madison.
Yeah.
He's an entertainment reporter. And we were talking about there was a hoaxer named Alan Abel whose daughter did a documentary about her father. And that's what he did his adult life. He just pulled hoaxes. And one of them was he tried to outlaw breastfeeding. And he got the right all riled up saying that women have feelings and it's improper when they're breastfeeding. And he got on Tom Brokaw. And
really?
Yes. The documentary is called Abel Raises Cain. And it blew my mind. And he was on Brokaw, and Brokaw's just nodding. And he's throwing this Alan Abel's throwing these facts out there that are just completely made up. And he's like, you know, Tom, the Minnesota study for normalcy says that 52% of women who breastfeed, and Brokaw's just nodding along. You can't fact check. There was no Google then.
Right.
And he got on, anyway, he was on Donahue and he planted people in the audience when they were doing a thing about older homosexuals. And when these people would start to talk about their relationships, he had people faint in the studio audience.
Oh, no.
And Donahue cleared the audience. You know, he cleared the whole studio audience out because he thought something was coming in through the vents or whatever. But just a great documentary if you ever get it. You would really like it just because
I would love to see that. All right. I'll watch it with you and Conrad just as a peace offering.
We'll just distract him with the documentary and we'll sneak you out.
You know who else just passed away? I don't know if you've mentioned this. Peter Marshall, the longtime host of Hollywood Squares, died this week.
I saw that. Yeah, I did see that. That was before my, I don't remember watching. I guess when I was a little kid, he was the host, right? Were you a fan?
I used to love that show. Yeah, I loved it. And every once in a while, they would veer off course. Instead of doing the Hollywood Squares, they did a thing called Storybook Squares, where all the stars dressed like characters from kids' books. And they did it. It was the same rules as Hollywood Squares, but the two contestants were kids instead of adults. And I thought, wow, this is really cool. Nobody was doing stuff like that on TV at the time. So that was a lot of fun.
That's great.
Did you know Peter Marshall, is the father of a Chicago Cub? Did you know that?
I'm trying to think who the Cub would be. Marshall.
I will give you a hint. He has one of the most unfortunate names in baseball history.
And his last name is Marshall?
No, actually.
Oh.
He went by his father, Peter Marshall's real first name, not his made-up stage name.
Oh. Who was it?
Pete LeCocq.
I should have guessed that.
Yeah.
I remember as a kid watching baseball and saying, I don't think I'm supposed to be saying that name. It's just the guy's name. Like, you know.
That was his name.
That was his name.
So I still remember, like, when I was a kid and Hollywood Squares were on, the announcer would say, one of these stars is sitting in the secret square and the contestant who picks it first could win a prize package worth $1,000. But which star is it? George Gobel, and he would just go on with all the celebrities and stuff. And as a little kid, I would say it along with the announcer of Hollywood Squares. And now Peter Marshall's dead. So what good did that do anybody?
You did your part.
I tried.
My guest is Bill Leff. He's the host of Tune In With Me every morning on MeTV. Check it out if you haven't. He's also on Svengoolie and a show to be named a TBD title or anonymous. What do they call that?
A show to be named later, but I can't say anything else, Pete.
Okay, that's fair.
I'm making it dangerous.
Will you come back and tell us when the show actually airs?
I would love to. Yeah.
We can watch it when it's on, right?
Yeah, it'll be on in October. Okay. Just set your VCR for, people have VCRs, right? Set that for MeTV.
I still have beta. So, Bill, what's your favorite? Have you seen any of the summer movies? What's the best movie you've seen this summer? Do you have one?
Boy. You know what? I was listening to you ask that question, and I thought to myself, I don't know that I've gone... After COVID, I've only seen a handful of movies, and none of them have been great.
Oh, wow. Okay.
It's very disappointing.
Yeah.
You know, I used to go to the movie theater, two or three or four times a week, and now I think I've seen three movies in the last 5 years in theaters, and that's only because they're scary, and my wife refuses to go with me.
You like the scary movies?
I love scary movies.
Yeah.
Do you?
A lot of them this summer. You know, I'll be honest, I'm seeing more movies now since I've been hosting this show, and I've seen some scary ones. I'm okay with them. I don't like the really graphic, like, I don't know. Did you watch The Boys?
No, I didn't see that.
Oh, it's so unbelievably graphic, and it's
not. Is it good?
It is good. The writing's good, but I think they go a little too far where it kind of takes me out of it, but.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've seen Maxine and X this summer, and I've seen A Quiet Place. I don't know if those are you're talking about, those types of films.
I would love to see that. I haven't seen that yet.
Yeah, we've got a lot of movies we got to watch together.
Yeah, you just say the word, and I'm there. I will tell you this on a movie-related basis. I don't know if your phone does this, but my phone does this thing where it feeds me stories, news stories. Like if I hit the news button, it tells me stories that they think, whoever's running the phone, that I'll be interested in. And right now, this has been going on for 3 weeks now, half of the stories in my news feed are about Blake Lively. And I don't like her, and I don't dislike her, but I don't need to know anything else about her. But every day I'm fed 11, 12, 13 stories about Blake Lively, and the relationship she didn't have with her co-star in her latest movie, or why she named her last daughter what she named her, or why her sisters are all actresses, but we've never seen them in anything. Every single day I get all this stuff. How do I get out of that?
It sounds like you've read quite a few of the articles. I got to be honest.
No, I just read the headline.
Okay.
It tells me in the headline what it's about.
Can't you
but
click,
then I'm like,
can't you click the little button that said hear less about this or kill notifications for this kind of thing?
I'm just going to bury my phone in the yard or something.
They'll still find you.
Oh, they will?
They'll still find you, Bill.
They're relentless.
Hey, what would it take? All right. What would it take you right now for you to go on the road like you did in the early 90s? And let's say be the middle act for some road headliner in a city like Rockford or Akron.
Yeah.
Would you do that?
I would do it. I would be glad to do it. But my asking price, Pete, is $5,000. So if they can meet that, I'd be more than happy to do it.
I think they're going to give you summer money right now. So you might want to wait a couple months.
I'll wait until like October or November then and get my full share.
Okay. Fair enough.
All right. I would do it with you. If you went on a barnstorming tour, I think I might do it with you.
That's how I am. If someone calls or a friend of mine says, "Hey, I'm doing a gig. Will you open or whatever?" I always do it. And weird thing is, I still write jokes down when I think of them, even though I so infrequently do stand up. I do. Yeah, it's just like a habit or whatever. Hey, Bill, can you stick around for a couple more minutes?
Yeah.
All right, fantastic. We'll be right back with more with Tune In with Me TV's Bill Leff. This is Nightlight with Peach Wappa. Jim from Appleton says, still with you, Pete. Nice conversation with Rob. I kind of liked falling into bad movies on cable TV once in a while, too. It is fun. It's just like it's like nostalgic when you watch a movie that way, where there's like 5 minutes of movie, 8 minutes of commercials. Then they come back for 2 minutes of movie and do 7 minutes of commercials. Good stuff. Bill Leff is with me. He's the host of Tune In With Me on every morning on the MeTV network. It's a great show, especially if you have kids. You watch some Bugs Bunny cartoons, then Bill says funny things. It's just a great... Bill, whoever thought of that, I mean, it's just a brilliant idea.
Yes, it was Prince Charles whose idea it was.
And he wanted no piece of the action.
Monarch, but he wanted what?
He wanted no piece of the action. He didn't say, "I want a taste." He just is a good guy who wanted people to be entertained.
He loves Chilly Willy cartoons. I had no idea. He called me up out of the blue one day and he goes, "Would you host a show where you show Looney Tunes, Wile E. Coyote, you know, Chilly Willy?" And I'm like, "You're Prince Charles. Yes, absolutely. I would. Yes." All right. Now I'm going to take your question about summer movie and I'm going to add Dolly Parton to the mix because it is Dolly Parton's birthday.
Yeah.
What is your all-time favorite Dolly Parton movie, Pete?
Oh, you know, one of our listeners is a huge Dolly Parton fan. She says Best Little Whorehouse in Texas. I would probably agree with that because I remember liking it, but I don't know a lot of her movies. I have to be honest. So I'd probably say that one.
Well, I know a lot of people would take 9 to 5.
Oh,
For me, it's, and I think you'll agree with me on this, her greatest movie ever was Godfather 2. I thought she was so good in Godfather 2.
Who did she play in that, Bill?
She was Hyman Roth. One of the other Dons. He was out in Florida.
Yeah.
Michael Corleone came to see Hyman Roth. That was Dolly Parton.
And nobody
you don't even
knew
realize
that.
It because she's so good.
God, she's just that good. That's incredible. I didn't. Yeah. I kind of forgot about that, honestly.
Yeah,
you know what I liked
amazing.
Her in? The Longest Yard. Did you see her play quarterback?
Oh, God, yeah. She's so good in that, too. She was so good in that. Did you ever see Das Boot with Dolly Parton?
She's like Tom Hanks. She's been in everything.
She's been in everything. And because she's such a chameleon, you just accept it. You go, all right, whatever you got, let me see.
You know what
she's
I think
so good.
What is so funny, Bill? Like, I've known you, like, what would we say, for 30 years or whatever. I don't think I've ever had a real conversation with you. Like, even in our emails, Bill, okay, everyone listening, Bill started calling me Debs. Just a cute housewife nickname, Debs. How are you doing? Yeah. Yes, I'd like to be on your show. And I, you know, I got to come up with something to try to match what's with Bill. So I said, you know, you should rename, you should call yourself Built. Like, if you ever start lifting weights, Built Left or Built Left, if that could work too. But so the last few email exchanges, it's like, Debs, yes, got the information, looking forward to it. Okay, thanks, Built. Like,
you know why, Pete? I've always thought if you're going to do something really stupid, why not just go all the way? Right?
Yes.
Now your invitation to go on the road reminded me of something, and I don't know if I've ever told you this. When I did stand up, there were certain guys I loved to work with, you being way up on the high end of that list, because you always wanted to find somebody that was really funny, hopefully really clean, very original, you know, and you certainly fit that bill. But another guy that I used to bring with me, like when I started headlining, and I go, oh, this guy's so funny, is our friend Mike Siegel. You know,
he
was in a movie that I think you wrote and directed.
He did have a part in the Godfather of Green Bay. That's correct. He was also in Traffic. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. He's had a very nice career. So one time, and if I've told you this, I'll just tell you the quick version. But we were working together in Kansas City. And, you know, whenever you go to a new club that you've never worked before, they always want you to come in early the first day so they can get to meet you and tell you what the club rules are. Sometimes they'll post the club rules somewhere. So at this club in Kansas City, in the green room, they had a list of the 10 rules of the club. And they all made sense but one. Like, it started out, it said, you must get here 20 minutes before showtime. If you're a comic on the show, you're entitled to 2 free drinks. If you want a third, it's half off. You know, it was all stuff like right. that. But the number 10 rule on this club in Kansas City was absolutely no Vegas walking.
Come on.
So Mike and I go to, we read this, and the owner of the club is there with us. And I say, how firm are you on your no Vegas walking rule? And he goes, well, pretty firm. He goes, I want to say that if you do it once, we'll have a talk about it. If you do it twice, the week is over. I can't use you if you're going to Vegas walk. So Mike goes, what if the crowd wants us to Vegas walk? He goes, no, it doesn't matter what the crowd wants. This is a professional club. There'll be no Vegas walking. And I say, what if you start out Vegas walking, but then you look at the audience like, I got you. I'm not going to Vegas walk. He goes, guys, I can't stress this enough. You cannot Vegas walk in this club. I don't know where else you work. We don't allow it. All right, so that was about 25 years ago. To this day, Pete, I have no idea what Vegas walking is. I don't know if I ever did it by accident. I just know that in Kansas City, you better not do it.
I thought you were going to say, like, so we decided to Vegas walk and then, like, kind of sashayed into a foxtrot or something, you know. That's funny. Oh, my gosh. What is that?
And like, I don't know what it means. I have no idea. And I know I could probably Google it, but I'd rather spend the rest of my life not knowing.
Maybe it's like James Caan when he kind of puts his shoulders back and puts his chest out, maybe. That could be
I think
Vegas
that
one.
Could be it, but why would he be so adamant that nobody do it? What is he losing in that?
Yeah, because it's kind of cool.
I just thought maybe, this is in the back of my imagination, maybe it means getting up and just really taking your time getting to the stage, maybe playing a hand or two of blackjack on the way, you know, seeing a show.
Wearing sunglasses.
Seeing Liza.
Yeah, right.
Sunglasses.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Bill, that's funny. Thank you. I thought you were going to say Mike Siegel tried to kill you, but I'm glad you didn't
say
that.
Well, Mike Siegel would
not. Friends.
He would be a protector if Conrad ever does what he says he's going to do.
And you don't want to mess with Mike.
I don't want to mess with Mike
Siegel. He'll Vegas walk your ass right into the. That is
he's
so.
He's done it before.
Have you ever Googled that? You should Google that. Maybe it's like a thing.
I don't want to know.
You don't want to know. I'll Google it.
It's so much better not to know, isn't it?
I agree. Bill, thanks so much. This is so fun.
Thanks, Pete.
Happy Debs.
Dolly Parton's birthday to you and Debs. You, Conrad. I hope you love me one day.
I'll keep him away from you. I'll set a screen and roll.
Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Bill. Have a great night.
Bye, guys.
Check out MeTV. and tune in with me every morning. Bill's so funny. He's the host. I'd like to thank Rob Thomas. Thank you for watching on the stream tonight, folks, and sticking with us. It's been a lot of fun. We will be back tomorrow night with Chris Anderson, who will discuss our favorite movie pastime snack, popcorn, and Justin Superstar, the director of Mom and Dad's Nipple Factory, award-winning documentary. That's tomorrow night on Nightlight. We'll be back. Good night, Wisconsin. Building tower for side.